Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoors Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Camp Denny's on oysters, about however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
The reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Saturday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show. This morning is Jay's. And our sponsors today, Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated, the Belleville Meat Market, Angler U, and Boyd's One Stop. All right, let's get to it. Let's get the weather here. It looks like it's 77 down on the island in Galveston this morning. Feels like 79 with light rain. And this morning looks like thunderstorms as this little frontal boundary passes through us. And then cloudy skies this afternoon. Still going to be warm. High of 78. North winds 10 to 20. And that rain chance they're throwing in there this morning is about 100%. And then for tonight, cloudy skies with a low of 74. North-northeast winds 10 to 15. With a, looks like tomorrow, maybe a shower or two possible early again with cloudy skies in the afternoon, and it'll be continued very warm. All this was just basically a wind switch. Looks like it's high around 80 tomorrow. North-northeast winds 10 to 20 in that rain chance, 50%. So just kind of a wind switch, waiting on a better front later in the week. Hopefully we get it. All will be good. Looking at tides for today, we're on two of them. We're sitting on a high right now. That occurred at the Galveston Channel just after midnight at 12:34 a.m. It was a 1.7. And then we have a low at 3:46 p.m. It's an 0.3. And our sunrise this morning, 6:39 a.m. That'll put shooting time, legal shooting time in the Houston-Galveston area at 6:09. And 5:27 p.m. will be sunset. Our moon phase is 44%. We're coming up on a half moon. Looking current conditions around the complex, looks like up at Morgan's Point, it's kind of a north to northwest wind up there at 19. Over around Anahuac, it's north at 19. It hadn't got to the coast yet. The wind switch is still southeast at 7 at the North Jetty. But San Luis Pass, it's showing a north wind at 15 over there and a southeast wind at 9 at the old rollover site. So it's just, that boundary's just now hitting close to the coast. And radar showers are kind of just a little bit of here and there all over the place. But anyway, and looking at basically overall forecast for the weekend, it doesn't look bad. I mean, it's all good. And hunters will be abundant. Hunting season has officially started last weekend. A lot of people hunting. So, looks good to me. Wish I could participate. That'll come. And, anyway, we're gonna talk to the fish dude this morning. Bill Watkins has gone deer hunting. He has no phone signal. We kind of knew that. We're gonna get, the fish dude up, and we'll talk with him for part of the segments that Bill normally does, and then we'll just go from there, see what transpires. A lot of I'm seeing some decent deer picks coming in early, you know, even though the weather's been kind of bad. I've seen, you know, a few good buck shot, you know, some 5.5, 6, 6.5 year old deer, maybe sevens, with some nice 10 and 11 points. One big 8 point, so things look pretty good to me starting out, even though it's warm. But boy, I know down south Texas, the big rattlesnakes are definitely on the move, and it's not good. And so you've got to be careful, especially with the quail hunters right now, you know, the ones that are using dogs and going through all that high grass down there. Pretty easy to get popped. All right, let's go check in with the fish dude this morning, see what he's up doing bright and early. Hey, Richard, what's going on, buddy?
Not a lot, just getting ready to go fishing. That's what it is.
Oh,
you
boy.
Know, that's, I'm telling you, this cool front makes it feel good, too. 62 degrees right now. It's wind blowing out of the north, not too hard, but it's blowing, so we'll see how that works out.
Isn't that weird how the temperature is that much difference between here on the coast and where you're at, just right up the road in Conroe?
Isn't that crazy? I mean, yeah, it is crazy.
77 down here, it feels like 79.
Oh, my goodness. Wait till it gets down there to you.
I had to put a rain jacket on just to get to my truck so I wouldn't be soaking wet when I got in it. It's coming down
to my
house this morning. Pretty nuts.
That's like yesterday when I got off the water yesterday. It was like 85 degrees. It's like, good night. It's November. You know, it's
right.
Like, you got to be kidding me. And then this morning, it's just a big change, you know, because that front kind of pushed through here last night around 6 o'clock or so. It started kind of pushing through up here and started raining like crazy, and then it backed off and then just got cooler. So overnight it just cooled down pretty good. So I ain't complaining. I promise you, I am not complaining at all. But man, them dang no catfish were doing good yesterday. We hauled them rascals out. I mean, we ended up keeping 5 really good ones too. And I only caught about 20 of them that we threw back. They were shorter than what we wanted to keep. So
right.
I am not complaining. I mean, them knuckleheads were doing good.
Now on your lake, there's no minimum length, right?
Correct. There's no minimum length. You got 10 of them over 20 is what you can keep, and one over 30. Yeah. So it's with a 20.
That's for the whole group.
Well, that's for each person's limit.
Oh, so you can keep 10 over 20 as an individual.
Correct. It's correct. So that's
and one,
you know,
over
and
25.
20, one over 30.
Or one over 30, yeah.
Yeah, one over 30, and then that's 25 total for the number.
Man, who can keep up with all this?
It gets to be a pain in the rear sometimes.
You know, I have no trouble just keeping up with the saltwater stuff. And then when I go over to freshwater, I go, man, I've got to be careful what lake am I on. All the limits are different on different lakes and stuff.
They are. I mean, that's like on Livingston. I think the number over there is, I hadn't even looked at it this year, but I think last year it was like 15 over 20, and then you could keep like 3 to 5 over 30. And 50 total. So it's like, you know, it's and that's per person, you know, and that's one of those things. And then like here a while back, I saw somebody saying, okay, so I can keep 25 channel cats, 25 blue cats, and 25 yellows. No, you can't. It's 25 total in combination. So
yeah, it's, same way at Livingston, you know, 50 in total in aggregate.
Right,
all
50
species of catfish.
That's exactly right. So it's, you know, it's crazy how it works, but that's what it is. You know, that's just like with the hybrids. You know, you get the hybrids and striped bass. You keep five of whatever it was, striped bass. You can keep five of those, a hybrid, five of those, or three hybrids, two stripes. Even though we don't have any real striped bass on Conroe, but I think years ago, the limit on Texoma for striped bass was like three. And I think Buchanan was the same thing for a long time. And
yeah.
And I think they've changed all that since then. But
Now?
Right, five is what it is. But there's some lakes that are still at three. So you got to, you know, like I say, whatever lake you're on, you got to pay attention to it. Because it's... I'm telling you. And then that's like up in Arkansas when I go fish up there, the spotted bass. You can keep, you know, they'll say you can keep like five or six largemouth, and then they'll throw in an additional spotted bass number because they don't want the spotted bass in the lakes up there. So it's kind of crazy. You can keep like 15 total because they'll tell you keep 10 spotted bass. And spotted bass are good table fare, I guarantee you, you know, because they don't get very big anyway. And that's one thing about those. The bass, largemouth, or even the Kentucky spotted bass or whatever, those, to me, the largemouth are not very good table fare. The spotted bass are really good because they just don't get very big, you know, and that's, the bigger they are, the worse they taste to me. They taste more like a lizard, so it's...
Tastes more like what? Lizard?
A lizard. Yeah,
a lizard. I've never eaten a lizard.
Neither have I, but they taste kind of like an alligator.
Oh, okay. All right.
So it's one of those things, you know, where they just don't taste right to me. And then, you know, there's a lot better fish to eat than a largemouth bass. But like I say, when it comes to those spotted bass, I guess just because they don't get as big, they're really good. Because I keep some of them over at Rayburn every once in a while. When I get over there,
what, those spots?
Keep a few of them and cook them.
We catch a lot of them spots on Rayburn.
Oh man, it's full of them. That's one thing.
Especially early in the spring, man. I mean, you can't keep them off of bait hardly.
No, they'll eat you alive. I mean, they just attack everything you throw out there. And that's what's funny about Conroe. It's got a few spotted bass in it, but it doesn't have a lot.
Yeah,
you know, there's just a handful of them, and I run across them here or there, and just every once in a while, you know, nothing big, but it's no big numbers, but I have found a few docks that I'll go to fishing every once in a while, and they'll just be loaded up with them, but they, like I say, they never get big. That's kind of like those Guadalupe bass over in the Llano River. If you catch one of them that's a pound, he's a big one, you know. They're just those rascals over there in those little rivers like that are just fun as heck to catch. So, you know, catch them on light line, spinning tackle and stuff like that, or even fly rod. I know a lot of guys started fly fishing that Llano River there for a while. And I know they still do, but it's just fun getting out there with that kind of fly gear and stuff like that, fishing for those little Guadalupe bass and different things like that. You know, my problem with a dang fly rod is I'd end up choking myself. I'd wrap that thing all around my head. So I've tried to,
you know.
I know it, but I guarantee I'd whoop myself hard enough for a while, though, because it's one of those things. When I was a kid, I used to try to do it in stock tanks and stuff like that. You know, take little poppers and catch brim and stuff like that. But I never was any good at it. It's just, you know, it's one of those things where, there's an art to it, and I'm just not that coordinated for the most part.
You're not an artist.
That's it. Too much of a power fisherman. That's what that is. You know, chunk it out there and whine. That's the biggest thing. And get that big heavy line going and get after it. You know. So, and that's one of the biggest things. You know, because for a longest time, You know, when Rayburn had all that deep hydrilla and stuff like that, you'd very rarely find my rods with anything less than 50-pound braided line on it, you know, because that's what you did, get 50 to 85-pound braided line and go to flipping that grass and get after it. You know, I mean, you didn't care if they saw it or not. You just needed to get them out of that structure when you had them on, because when you had that deep grass and stuff, and Randy can tell you, I mean, good night. Randy started all that stuff over there,
yep.
You know, flipping up in that buck brush and stuff, jerking them fish out of there years ago with that tough line. Yeah, he was, too. I guarantee you.
Braided line these days. Let me do this break right quick, Richard, and I'll be right back at you, man. Hang on just a second.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
Good deal.
All right, well, folks, are you looking for the ultimate outdoor adventure? Well, welcome to Rusty Hook Ranch, a premier hunting and fishing destination right in Matagorda, Texas. Whether you're after waterfowl, quail, thermal hog, or even alligator hunts, Rusty Hook Ranch has it all. And don't forget about their top-tier Matagorda Bay fishing charters. And bring your friends, bring your clients, and let the boys at Rusty Hook Ranch take care of everything from five-star lodging, skeet shooting, and sporting clays to a fully stocked bass pond. And your weekend here will be one you won't soon forget. And if you need a place for team building, family reunions, weddings, or other events, Rusty Hook Ranch can sleep large groups of up to 40 and host events for up to 300 people. So why wait? Experience the best at Rusty Hook Ranch. Book your adventure today at RustyHookRanch.com. That's RustyHookRanch.com. And don't forget to tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 418 here in the Bayou City. All right, Richard, we're back, my friend.
Good deal, good deal.
What kind of fishing are you going to be doing this morning?
I think we're going to go after some more catfish, see if them rascals want to bite again today. So
yeah,
they're just too consistent right now, and the size is getting right. So
yeah,
I mean, that's one of them things. Now, 75 yesterday only made 5 gallon bags of fillets, but that's all right. That's still some pretty good sized fish. I mean, it's just one of those things. So, and I've been catching up a good mix of blue cats and channels too. So that's what's kind of funny. Yesterday we had about three or four of those blues that were anywhere between 4 and 6 pounds. So I ain't complaining. I guarantee you. And it's them goofy rascals. They come swimming up and look like sharks swimming in the water. That's one thing about them blues, them rascals. Every time they come up, they look like a shark because they got that big old high fin on their back.
High and them fin rascals, blues, yes sir.
Yes sir. And they're just fun to pull on. I guarantee you. And then when you get into a real big one, you know that's even better. You know it's more fun anyway. But you know, one of the things, I use those spinning rods all the time, and I'm always constantly trying to teach people how to fish with them, right? Because like when we hook into those big fish. Them rascals, a lot of times what they'll do is they'll jerk on them and stuff like that, and instead of using the rod to bring the fish in, they try to just crank on that handle and bring them in, and they'll bust them reels right off the rod. I go through about one a week where they'll break them off the rod, and it's like, you know, this is what I'm telling you. You got to raise up on the rod tip, keep pressure on him, let that fish fight, and as he starts to give you some slack, then you reel down to him, you know, drop your rod tip and start reeling on him then. But whenever they're pulling you, especially them big ones, when they start pulling, you've got to just hang on, because yeah, they're going to start stripping drag out. And if you're trying to reel while he's stripping drag, you're not making any headway, and you're just over torquing that reel is what you're doing. Because a lot of people, I don't know why they do it, I've seen them. I sit there and watch them
reeling while the drag's going out.
Right.
Yeah, but I know.
And then they get to torquing that reel to the side instead of going straight up and down with that handle, and it just gets to, it puts pressure on the shaft of that reel as where it attaches to the rod, and boy, it snaps it right off of there. I mean, I've lost a dang many reels, and I lose them every year. Same, huh. Probably about a dozen a year from people just snapping them off like that. And it's all the same thing. You know, just remember, you raise up on the rod, and when them fish are pulling on it, you just let them pull. They get so excited, you know, they want to reel them in real fast. And I tell them, look, and I show them this all the time, and I tell them, you know, that reel, that handle, only winds line up. It does not bring your fish in. It's winding line up to keep you from having a big mess. And I'll show them. I'll set the hook, and I'll tell them, I'm not going to touch this handle at all. I'm going to bring this fish in. And I pull it in like a fly rod. You sit there, strip a little line back, strip a little line back. When he pulls, let him pull. Strip a little line back, pull him right on in the boat. And I'll have a big old wad of line laying there on the floor, but I'm trying to explain to them, you know, don't get so excited with that handle. And that's what a lot of them do whenever we're catfishing anyway. They, instead of trying to set the hook, they try to reel them in first. And I tell them, you know, you got to remember, they got a tough mouth. You got to, when you get one on there, when you feel him, you have to try to jerk his dang old head off, and then you can reel. You know, if you start reeling first, you're not going to catch them, because you're going to reel it right out of his mouth. I mean, they got the, because, you know, the way these fish bite is you drop that thing down on the bottom and let it sit there. Now, granted, like yesterday, a lot of them came off the bottom. They're about 3 foot up off the bottom. But, they've been doing that all year long. You pick them up about midday or a little mid-morning where they'll start coming off the bottom. But when you get it down on the bottom, you let it sit there. As soon as you feel something bump on it, I mean, it's going to be a slight little bump. It's not, so many people think they're going to just knock the fire out of it. They don't do that. They just barely bump it. And as you feel that bump, you want to raise it up till you feel some resistance. Or if you see that rod tip bend at all, that's when you just jerk like heck. And when you jerk, then you just get hold on to him there for a little bit. And he's either going to start coming up immediately, or he's going to start pulling like a freight train. And either way, you know, if he comes up, you start reeling. If he starts pulling, you just sit there and hold on to him. Let him run. Let that rod do its job. That rod is basically a spring. You know, let that rascal bend over, and he'll pull and wear himself out after a little bit. But if you don't let him do it, you know, I mean, you sit there and crank on him. Especially, you know, I'm using braids, so it's no big deal. But if you use monofilament and you start winding on that drag spinning, it just creates loops in that line. So next time you drop it down there, it's going to wrap around your rod tip, you know. And I mean, you've seen that so many times, it's unreal.
Oh,
I know.
God.
So, and it's aggravating, you know, because you got to change line after it's over with, because people sit there and crank on the while it drags spinning, and it just constantly twists
the line. Yeah, and then when they, you know, like the type of fishing I do, when they drop the rod tip too much and all that slack, and they reel it up,
wraps around the rod tip. Everything. So it's
land,
you know,
twist.
There's it's everything, you name it. I mean, it's crazy how much stuff.
It's just
how
the way that reel's made and configured. That's what you're going to get if you don't fish with it properly.
That's exactly right.
I like bulletproof bait casters. Plus, I can stay in contact with my lure better.
I'm all into those bait casters myself. And, you know, even at that, you know, there's certain things that you do with those that, you know, so many people are afraid of them. And that's why at those seminars I do at the fishing show and stuff like that, I always show people how to get those backlashes out, because with a bait caster, you're going to backlash. I don't care who you are, it's going to happen. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter. You can be the most seasoned pro out there, or the very first day to ever fish with one. You're going to get a backlash.
Yeah, so well, there's a difference between a backlash and a bird's nest.
Yes.
If you're consistently bird nesting, well, you may have to go back to the old coffee grinders or mix masters.
But That's it.
You know, just a little bit of loose line. And that's one big mistake they make with bait casting reels. They'll get a little loose line. They'll reel up over that loop or whatever.
Yes.
And then never. The next time they cast, they burn their line in two. You got to make sure yep. all of it's off the spool before you click in and reel up over it. All right,
that's
Richard.
Like when
I'm going to get on out of here, buddy. I'm glad you took my call this morning, and you can get an early start on them now, and I'm out of your way. Somebody wants to pop you about coming up and fishing Conroe, getting some catfishing in or some hybrids later on, how they get a hold of you, man.
Well, Mickey, anyone get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
You got that deer processed yet?
You know it. Ready to roll. Already had some backstrap the other night.
There you go. You've been busy, man. All right, Richard. You have a good one. I'll talk to you next week, man. Have a good weekend, buddy. Catch them up.
Yes, sir. You too.
Thanks, Richard.
Bye.
See you, buddy.
Yes, sir.
All right. All right, now let's go to Bink Grimes. I'm sure he's on the way to some kind of duck hunting adventure this morning. See what he's up to. Hey, Bink, what's up, man?
Yeah, we're going to give it a try. We decided we might want to hunt a couple of times this season. So.
Oh, really?
We're going to try it again this morning. Yes, sir. We got a little north wind, so that's nice.
Yeah,
kind of due north, a little west in it.
All right, that's what I'm seeing.
Wind.
Do you get any rain yep. out of this land?
A little bit when I woke up. The pavement was a little damp, but doesn't look like a whole lot. We got early this week about an inch and a half. And it kind of shifted our ducks a little bit, you know. Some of the spots we were saving, kind of move around and everything and kind of keep everything fresh. Man, we lost our ducks in those spots and, you know, didn't even hunt them.
Wow.
But that's just normal. They're migratory. They fly. It's a game within a game. So, but they'll trickle back to us. And
chasing ducks is kind of like chasing redfish.
Really is.
Day gone tomorrow.
and then, you know, tides are higher than I've ever seen them in November. So
Aren't they, though? You ought to see it this morning. My goodness. It's bowled up.
Bowled up. And so, you know, they've those birds that we lose to the bay, there's water everywhere. There's water everywhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, you need all the puddles to dry, and you need the tide to go down a little bit so you can concentrate them a little bit more. But I can't complain. It's been pretty solid, pretty consistent, and just been a good week. A lot of smiles on faces, and been a good week.
That's what it's all about, man. That will hunt. Are you hunting again in the morning?
Yeah, I didn't lose you. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, we're here. We got you. Well, we did. I heard him there for just a minute. He faded out.
You there?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's all right. I guess you're on the road. You're running.
Yeah, I'm on the road. Just to meet people here in a minute. But
dead spot.
We're going to fish a whole lot more this week. It's probably a pretty good week of fishing. It looks like it's going to be with calm winds. It's better to have a rod in your hand than a shotgun when winds are less than 10 knots, you know?
Right.
That's what we're going to do. Looks like maybe a front coming in maybe 8-9 days on the backside of that full moon. Is that what
Well,
they
were
like?
Showing. I thought we were going to pull one around Wednesday.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a little bit stronger, and I looked at the forecast this morning, and it looks like it's not going blow as hard.
Those low temperatures are coming up somewhat. And
it's going to have more westerly in it, more Pacific in it. So,
yeah, it's Wednesday. It's going to go southwest, and then Thursday northeast, slightly cooler. Yep. So,
yeah, you know, we're still, you know, still waiting on. We've got enough birds to hunt, but still not to just big groups that we normally have, and you know, just
well, a good cold front will change that. A lot of birds will write that down
real quick.
You know, they really will.
Real quick, they will. Seen it. I remember years. I can't remember a year this warm in October, November, but I can remember those warm years where we're still waiting on our snow geese at Thanksgiving. You know. And that's kind of what I'm seeing right now. There's not a whole lot of speckle bellies on the ground, you know, when there's not, you know, and on normal years, you know, you've got a lot of specks on the ground,
right,
in mid October, late October, but man, they're not here yet either. Just have seen a handful of sandhill cranes too. So, but yeah, all that could change overnight.
Need some fronts. You know, it'll change overnight, man. Have you got time for me to take this break and come right back at you?
Yeah.
All right, well, keep driving. I'll be right back at you, bud. All right, well, I need to take a moment to tell everyone about the Belleville Meat Market. They're easy to find right in downtown Belleville. Their meat market and processing facility are right next door to one another. With deer season in full swing, always think of the Belleville Meat Market. And they have a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue served Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Check out their bulk pricing available on fresh ground beef and all their pecan smoked sausage. Original country hot dogs right now. Buy two packs, get the third pack free. And if you're looking to have a quarter or half calf process, that's available for pre-order also. And their wild game processing, check out their new sausage recipe available just in time for deer season. You got to try it. It's really good. Get deer tamales made, too, and venison hot dogs. Your family will love that you did. And they're now taking orders for their country smoked birds, 11 to 13-pound average weight. Limited supply, so get them while you can. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 435 here in the Bayou City. All right, Bink, we are back. You getting a good mix of ducks right now, you know, as far as, you know, like gadwall, widgeon, pintail, teal, all that?
Yeah, it's, there's not, you know, same deal, there's not a whole lot of gadwalls in our marsh yet. We've got some spots that that have a lot of big ducks. We're shooting a lot of blue wings and green wings. You know, last weekend we had a lot of widgeons. We're starting to see more pintails working as well, but we haven't had really a big duck shoot yet. You know, we've had you go out and you shoot 24 birds and, you know, 18 of them will be teal and six of them will be gadwall. You know, that's just the way it's been. You take what it's given you so far, but it's kind of been an extension of teal season, which that's fine. I'll never shake a stick at shooting a blue wing or a green wing, I promise you.
No, I ate some fresh teal roll-ups the other night. A friend of mine made for us. Boy, that's a good duck to eat, man.
It really is. It really is. You know, a lot of
It's
a
like eating backstrap roll-ups, you know?
Yeah, it is. If you prepare it right, you know, it is. I like to I don't eat a whole lot of duck. I eat it two or three times a year. You know, a lot of my customers, they just like it. They enjoy it. They take it home. And but when I do, you know, I'll take teal breast or any of those puddle duck breasts, and I soak them in ice water, and it really seems to get a little bit of that little bit of that wildness out of them, that liver taste. If you're not a liver enthusiast, you know, And I tell you, a fresh jalapeno, and a little cream cheese, and a good thing of bacon, that's it's hard to beat. It really is.
Sliced bacon, you know, wrapped around the outside. Come on with it. Yeah, that's good stuff.
Get you a hot fire going, you know, when the bacon's ready. It's ready, you know. Waterfowl's best prepared, you know, rare. And it just is. And you can overcook. If you overcook it, it's like you're chewing on a cowboy belt, you know. And we don't like that.
That's the same way with backstrap. Everybody overcooks venison and duck, and it makes all the difference in the world if you'll leave it a little bit rare.
It does.
More tender, better flavor, everything. And no belt chewing. Yeah. Oh, I had a text come in for you. Could you ask Bink where the gator near Matagorda? I don't know what that really means. I mean, there are alligators in Matagorda, man.
And there are a bunch of them right now.
Yes.
You know, I guess I never hunted my dog during till season this past year. And I showed up, Thursday morning, and to a little freshwater hole, and didn't really think about it. Was kind of delirious from the whole weekend, staying up late, you know, doing this, hunting, and you know, you just kind of getting that duck season mode, and I'm already in it, where you're just kind of delirious, and you know, you're trying to run a lodge, you're trying to fish, trying to do all this, and man, I showed up that about halfway down the road on my buggy. I'm thinking, oh man, I probably should have left the dog in here today. Man, when I got to that pond, there were orange eyes everywhere, and I said, look at this. So they weren't big ones, but you know, the thing is, when you got a good dog, she just doesn't stay, you know, in the pond. She makes long retrieves, and she'll disappear after birds, you know, and that's what gets you. They go in the cattails, and you don't know what's in the cattails, you know. And so I didn't let her go after a whole lot of stuff that I couldn't see, you know. And it's just just don't want that to happen. But that's what you deal with this time of year, when, man, it's 85 degrees, and man, you know, water temperatures are 81 and 82, and you know, in the shallows. And I mean, just you know, we've dealt with it before. We just never dealt with it this long. And so a lot of things get cured with a little cold weather this time of year, you know. Try to make those reptiles dormant, go to sleep a little bit, get a new wave of birds in here. You know, a lot of things are going to happen when we finally get that first cold front and that water dumps. You know, our fishing's been wonderful, and it's just going to get...
It'll get better.
A whole lot better.
Hunting, every aspect.
Hunting, everything, you know. Duck hunting's going to get a whole lot better along the coast, too, when that water dumps. You know, it just is. It's, you know, we're going to get a push of birds, and just, you know, it's just... It's the way it's gonna be, and that's the way it's been for ages. And you just deal with weather patterns. That's part of being a professional guide. And
yep.
You're a weatherman too. You know, you got to make your decisions based on tides, lunar phases, barometers, wind direction. You know, just part of it.
It is.
And you control what you can control, and what you can't control, you try to stack the odds in your favor that it'll go your way, and you do a lot of praying. At least I do.
You know, we all know that one person. You know, I had it happen to me years ago. I don't know, way back. We're hunting a marsh pond, and customer wanted to bring their dog, so I left mine in the truck. We get back there, and this dog goes on a long retrieve after a cripple that made it across the pond and into the marsh grass. Well, that dog never came back, and gator got him. He goes, man, that dog's never failed to come to me when I call it. I said, something's wrong. I mean, that dog should be back. So we kind of messed our hunt up. We only needed a few more birds, but we got in a buggy and we went looking, and that dog was nowhere to be found. I think a big old, one of them big old huge gators got him, took him down in the hole.
You know, I tell people, yeah, you know, we've got a lot of alligators in Matagorda County, but if you want to see alligators, you go to where we grew up in Chambers County, where,
yeah,
I mean, there's no place like it in Texas. There's no place like it in Texas, you know, at least it was when I was growing up. I mean, just everywhere, you know.
It's like Louisiana.
Everywhere. It is. It's just like it in, I mean, just everywhere. You ride through that marsh and they're everywhere. And we've got them here too, but not like that. Not where you couldn't go 100 yards and not see a gator in that marsh, at Trinity Marsh. I mean, just the way it is.
Trinity Marsh, yeah. And I'll tell you, over there in that all that high island marsh over there, you take a run down Oyster Bay. It looks like a Tarzan movie.
It's what it looks like. Yep. I mean, there's a reason why the Texas Gator Fest is held at White's Park in Anahuac, Texas.
Yeah. That's
there
fact.
Is a reason.
You're spot on.
Definitely a reason.
It's tough to lose a dog like that.
Yeah, it is. I can't imagine it. You know, I've had some great dogs. I've had some difficulties with dogs and hunters in the past. You know, just keep everything safe with everybody, and that's part of the whole game with being an outfitter as well. You know, you just control what you can control, and man, a lot of times success is getting back safe and everybody home safe, and you know, a lot of things can happen on that boat, man, in the boat and just everywhere. You've got to be on your game. You got to get your rest. And, you know, I try to employ veteran guides. My guides, you know, we talk about safety a lot and just about not taking chances and just, man, stacking the odds in your favor. It doesn't matter how many fish you catch if or how many ducks you shoot, you know, if something goes wrong. And it could happen, you know, and it could happen any time. And I really have to watch myself, you know, during the middle of duck season too. You know, you get tired and you get sleep deprived, and man, your mind doesn't think right, and you do dumb things.
A little careless. So
you get careless, and man, it happens just like that. And so we see it all the time. You know, you kind of sit there and chuckle at the boat ramp and some of these sports or what they do and how they get back to the dock sometimes, because there's just a lot of dumb decisions out there, you know, and we're all susceptible to them. You got to try to stay on your game. And I applaud my guys. I've got a great group of guys, you know, they work hard, and customer service, you know, you, like I said, you control what you control. We can try to catch fish all we can, but man, we're in the customer service business and trying to be teachers and trying to just you know, keep everybody safe, because if it's not a pleasurable experience, you know, we're based on repeat business, you know.
And that's it. That's the name of the game.
Yeah.
And then other, you know, some other guide services, they're into just, you know, one time, get them while they're hot.
Yeah.
And don't work on that. I got you. All right.
Well,
I hope you have a good shoot. Are you going to hunt again in the morning?
I'm not. I'm going to take tomorrow off and go to church. We made it to church last week after that got done at 7 o'clock. It's this time of year you can do that.
Sometimes you can.
Sometimes you can. So.
All right, buddy. Well, Bink, if somebody wants to call you about getting hooked up and doing some hunting or fishing this winter down in your area, how they get a hold of you, man?
Matagorda Sunrise Lodge. We've still got some. The last 2 weeks of duck season, this first split, I guess that last 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, man, we've got some opportunities to hunt and fish. So give us a holler. We'll see what we can do. It should only get better. It's been good. It should only get better.
Yeah, exactly. All right, man. Well, hey, throw them out some info. They can get a hold of you. Somebody wants to call you.
Yeah, 979-241-1705. Give me a call or text. If I don't get with you right off the bat, just know that I'm on the water or in the marsh, and I'll get with you right when I get back to
be
the truck.
Be patient. So, that's right.
Be patient.
Yes, slow it down. All right, Bink. See you, man. Have a good shoot. Y'all be safe out there.
Okay.
All right, brother.
Have a good
Thanks. Night. All righty. All right, now let's check in with Captain Charlie Paradosky. Charlie P., what's up?
Well, sleeping in today. Rest in these weary bones.
There you go. It's hell to get old, but you got to be
tough.
It
is.
You got to
be tough.
Yes, it
is. Yeah. Yeah, you can't let up. You got to keep going.
Keep moving. Moving and shaking.
Yeah. So we've been fishing all week, Mickey, and then despite this ridiculous weather, it's still good. I mean, Wednesday... You know, after that front, you had to put waders on. And the next morning, if you had waders on, you were
burning up.
You know?
Well, crazy. I in between.
Yeah, but I don't ever remember doing it in November like this. You know,
not well into November. What are we, like the 8th or 9th now? So,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, as a general rule over the years, you started to put them up around the 1st of October to the second week of October. Them waders were on. But
yes.
This year, Jesus. You know, the wade fishing is better for the bigger fish. You know, all summer we were catching those bigger fish really drifting out in the middle rather than the croaker fishermen. I don't know what they were doing, but, you know, now the better ones are on the bank. You know, there's in fact, the way these damn tides are high like this, you know, you get about 5 or 10 feet off the bank walking down, and if you can kick up a shrimp here or there, them fish are there.
Yes.
Yeah. And both Wednesday and Thursday, I had people lose, you know, a really, really good fish where they come out of the water and throw it.
Uh-huh.
So... All of them aren't like that, but most of them are 17 to 20-inch fish that we're catching.
Well, that's our table fare fish. We got that 5-inch slot, man.
Yeah, and like everywhere else, there's a lot of 15 and a half inch fish around, you know, in the river, and there's birds. You know, shrimp are coming out of that marsh regardless of these high tides, and there are birds working in all the bays and all the back lakes, and then most of it's trinket trash. You know, the gaff top won't leave. The sand trout are small, and all that's going to change. The best is yet to come, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, December's my favorite month, and in Matagorda, January and February, you know, are off the charts if you get people to go.
That's the problem.
I don't have a lot of bookings in like I normally do, but
yeah,
you know, this month's fine. But
we need some cold weather. It was to beg people to go in December, and man, we're waiting and catching all these huge fish, and nobody wants to go.
Yeah,
so, they do now.
Yeah, over the years I've been lucky. I've had a good crop of customers, but you know, our job as guides were to teach them. They wanted to learn spots. They wanted to learn how to catch them. And they end up buying their own boats and doing it on their own, and they're gone.
Where to go and what to throw, baby. Show me.
Yeah. And this new young crop of youngsters are different. You know, it's, they just want to go catch some fish.
Yeah.
So,
Well, that is the name of the game.
Yeah, we had about a 15 boat party yesterday that Mark Talosik had, and people were spread. Everybody caught fish. It was all fishing out of the boat. Some people went to the river, and some people in West Bay, and everybody caught fish yesterday.
Yeah,
but they're scattered out. There's nothing. Just when you're wading, you're not walking into the school, giant school of
yeah,
fish.
Yeah, standing
you're,
on them.
You're pecking on them.
That's it, pecking on them.
You're pecking them. You're going to catch four here, five there, maybe 10 somewhere. But, we're still building our schools back up. Yeah. You catch these good fish, you handle them right, you let them go, and they'll live. You put them on a stringer, bring them back to the boat, and measure them and weigh them and take a picture and
that's
turn them loose.
Good.
Forget that. Ain't gonna work.
So, I worry about some of these big fish, with a boga grip in their bottom jaw and holding all their weight of the fish on that jaw itself and all the video and photo and all that, all the op that goes with it, and then turn them loose. I wonder how good a chance that fish has.
Well, if he's
especially
sluggish,
the water
when he
warm,
swim,
you know.
Yeah, if he's sluggish when he swims off, and I don't know,
good.
He may have a 50-50 chance. Parks and Wildlife says different, but I don't know if they know what they're talking about.
All the predators we have in our waters nowadays, a fish swimming off slow and barely got any energy left in him, he's easy prey for a bull shark.
Right.
Good night, Irene.
Man, I see more porpoises in East Bay than I've ever seen.
Oh, and they'll get them too. Don't forget about our good old dolphin friends. Boy, they're nasty.
We caught about a 29.5-inch red in the river yesterday, and he was half scaled. Something had a hold of him. I guess there's so many gar in the river right now, it's just unbelievable. They're just rolling everywhere. I guess that's what grabs them. I don't know.
Oh, well.
It is what it is. We're still fishing.
All right, Charlie. Well, rest up and lick your wounds. Get ready for next week. Somebody wants to give you a call. How do they get a hold of you, my friend?
Call me on my cell phone, 713-725-2401.
Nothing like old school, baby. All right, Charlie.
Here you go.
Have a good weekend. See you, man.
Take care, Mickey.
Thank you, Charlie. All right, it's time for our top of the hour break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.